Greetings, loyal listeners. You are listening to The Blowhole on Tinsider Radio. Today, Rob and I mourn a vintage Miami Dolphin performance from last Sunday. We're going to discuss a little bit about the Tua Tagovailoa benching and just a really, really, really disappointing performance in Denver last Sunday by your Miami Dolphins. Kind of had a feeling in the back of my mind like they were due for a letdown. All the confidence and warm feelings were strange to me, so I wasn't completely surprised, but we'll see. Hopefully this team can turn it around this week coming up. So we're going to have a very short show.
Yeah, so let me just jump in right here. This is going to be a short show and a weird one. So James Radio and I have officially phoned it in for this week. We couldn't get our schedules to line up with the holidays and the time zone difference that we have between us. So James has sent me via voicemail his takes, the intro, which we just heard, which is fantastic, James. Thank you very much. And then he's going to give us his takes on the benching and his thoughts on the Jets game coming up. I will obviously chime in on those two things as well, and we'll go from there. We won't have our full show. We'll actually try to do a full show before the game on Sunday if we can line it up after Thanksgiving, but this is a special holiday phone it in. So back to you, James. What do you think?
We're 6-4. If anybody would have told me we would have been 6-4 at this point of the season, I would have been ecstatic. But nonetheless, it just feels so, so disappointing when we were on that 5-game winning streak and everything seemed to be going right. Even the Denver game got off to a great start with the Xavien Howard interception. And then Tua let us down to a touchdown. The offense did really nothing after that. The play calling was terrible. The defense couldn't stop the Denver Broncos running game. Get them off the field. It wasn't a very good performance all around.
No, it was a terrible performance all around. But honestly, I want to give the Broncos credit here. I feel like they came out with the correct scheme to stop what our offense was doing. You know, we had there's a few games of tape on it now that seems to make a big difference for these NFL defenses. They were able to take away those first reads, those quick slants. You know, they were really playing the guys tight, and Tua did look a little lost from his first throw. I mean, he had those two or three incompletions, and his first completion was actually the touchdown pass. But we've talked every week we talk about how great his accuracy is, and his accuracy was off from the beginning. So I don't know if that was what the Broncos were throwing at him, you know, if it was just, you know, I honestly don't know. I'm hoping it's just a 1 week kind of blip. And on the other side, the defense, you know, we've been saying this all year. This is a defense that is only good for playing with a lead because we can't stop the run. I even said it last week where, you know, we can run into an inferior team that if they get a lead and can run on us, you know, we might be in trouble. And lo and behold, you know, it wasn't even, you know, 72 hours later that's exactly what they did to us. And, you know, it is what it is. The defense, obviously, the offense was not helping with all the three and outs. The defense was out there too long. I mean, honestly, I think they did a great job with the Van Ginkle fumble was insane to keep us within a one score game. And the one that you mentioned that started off the game to get us up 7-0 again. Got us to the position, but the offense was just three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. It was ugly. So with that ugly offense, that brings us to the elephant in the room, the Tua benching.
The Tua benching.
Yep, the Tua benching.
I was fine with it at first when it happened. I thought he was hurt. I thought he got the sack that he took. It looked like, you know, it looked like he might have injured his leg or his hip. But I'm glad that he wasn't. I also kind of agree that there needed to be a change. I mean, the offense was not doing anything. He was holding the ball for way too long. I think it was probably to his benefit to see Fitzpatrick get in there and how he ran the offense, and how it should have been going against those sorts of looks. It seemed like Fitzpatrick was getting the ball out much faster, identifying single coverage and getting the ball out. The receivers weren't getting, a lot of separation, but it's the NFL, they're not going to get a lot of separation. So you have to identify single coverage and throw to those wide receivers. So hopefully it was a lesson that he learned. I was disappointed that we lost the game, but maybe had they gone to fifth a little sooner, they might have had more time and might have came back and won. I have no problem with the switch, though.
Completely agree. I did not have a problem with the switch, with the benching. The one thing I noticed early on, so at the end of the first half, the Broncos had the ball and they looked like they weren't doing anything with it, and we did not call our timeouts. We could have called our timeouts and gotten the ball back, with a chance to score at the end of the half. And Flores was like, "Nope, no thanks. Let's just go into halftime." So I knew at that point he did not like the way our offense was lined up with the defense. He wasn't even going to try to get a field goal out of this. So in my head, I said, okay, they're going into the locker room, going to try for some adjustments, see what this offense can do. In the second half, they did again, it was more of the same. They could not get anything done. Tua did not have time. The line wasn't protecting him. He was not making great reads. He was not making great throws. Everything looked kind of out of sorts. And then he took that hit. And yes, Flores came out and said he wasn't hurt. But this was, if I'm not mistaken, this was about 15 minutes after we found out Burrow was lost for the season, for the Bengals, and he took that hit, and which was his seventh sack, I believe, even though one of them was like a run out of bounds, but hit six times, brought to the ground, and the way he was bent and crumpled, I think it was time to get him out of there. I know people want it to be a learning opportunity, but this was. He's too important. That game wasn't getting what we weren't going to win it. We know we saw what Fitz could do last year playing behind a bad offensive line, and he can do Fitz things, right? He can move the ball, get us a field goal, move the ball, and throw a pick. I still think, we know Tua is going to start next week. He should start next week. But it's nice to know that if a defense does come up and scheme something that Tua is unavailable, unable to take advantage of, we do have Fitzpatrick waiting, and I think Tua's smart enough, and this coaching staff is good enough where he understands, he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. It's not like Tua knows he's the starter, and I think that was more of a protection to keep him healthy. So I agree with the move, and it put us in a position to win the game, which I don't think Tua could have done. And again, he's so young. It's still like his third, it's his third, fourth start. There's growing pains, but this offense is going to grow, and he's going to grow with it. I don't think it's not the end of the world. Like we said last week, good teams lose to teams, to teams that are worse than them all the time. Otherwise, the Chiefs would never lose a game. It happens, and it happened to us. It's hard to win. We weren't going to win like 8 or 9 in a row, but hopefully we'll take these next two, and then we'll go into then we'll have those four reasonably tough games to decide, if we're going to win a division or play for the playoffs. So, so that brings us to the Jets. What do you think about playing the Jets next week?
Looking forward to the Jets game on Sunday. They will be traveling to New York. The Jets are playing better of late. They seem to have established some kind of identity on offense with Breshad Perriman seemingly making some plays. Their defense is not terrible. They did kind of give us a hard time last time we played them, even though I know we crushed them, but the defense was, we didn't put up a ton of points on them. And given the way we looked last week, I don't think it's as much of a gimme as we were thinking before. I do think they still win. I just don't think it's going to be, I hope it's a blowout. I hope they get back to where they, had been playing before, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a closer game. Hopefully Tua responds. That's what I'm hoping to see in a positive way, and he bounces back. That's what the truly elite quarterbacks do. But he did not look at all like what I was thinking he was going to look like. And in the four games he's played, the numbers are starting to not look very great. He seems to be just so afraid of making a turnover that he's just not taking any shots at all. So that can't happen against the Jets. We can't allow them to dictate the play. We need to go after them. Hopefully we're going to be a little bit more aggressive both on offense and defense. My prediction, Miami Dolphins 24, New York Jets 16. Rob, what's your take?
So obviously Roptimist here also believes that the Dolphins will beat the Jets. I do not think the Jets will be able to scheme and repeat what Denver did. Hopefully there's not enough. I didn't get to watch the game a second time yet, but hopefully there's not enough tape left behind to duplicate what they did. On the other side, Sam Darnold he practiced today. This was Wednesday that we recorded our parts. So he may actually, he's going to try to play. Honestly, this is going to be one of the more insane, well, I say insane things all the time, but I think Flacco is better than Darnold, and Flacco is terrible. But at least he'll, like you said, he'll make two shots to Perriman and has a chance of hitting one, each game, which means Darnold is done in New York. I mean, which is obvious. Him and Gase are both going to be done at the end of this. They're going to try their rebuild with their first round, with their probably first overall pick in this coming draft. Now, I'm not as worried about the offense not putting up as many points last time, because that was early on, and this team will run out the clock. Once they have the big lead, we know that they don't pile on. And in that game, and just like in the Jaguars game, and even in the similar to the Niners and the Rams, like the fourth quarter when we had that lead, it was just run. It was just shut it down and let the defense take care of it. I imagine we'll get back to that. I do think. I'm hoping Gailey's gonna, will come up with some things, figure out some of the things we did, that we did wrong in Denver, and just keep adding wrinkles every week to this offense so that Tua can open it up and own it a little more. So I think I kind of have a similar feel and score, except I think we are going to win 28 to 9. Where let's crush those guys. All right, as promised, this is a real short one. We didn't want to have this week go by without getting our 2 cents in on the Tua benching and the fact that we believe everything's going to be okay. We'll try to get in with a full episode this week, but in the meantime, let's go Dolphins and FTJ.